money amplifies whatever is within us. And this is why it's so important to that we take the time to just like peel back the layers, take the masks off and say like, who am I from the inside out, the very core of my being? Who am I?
Welcome to Mindset Reinvented. I'm Jack Trauma. Join me each week as we explore emotional well-being, relationships, health, and prosperity. Get ready to thrive. As Socrates once said, the secret of change is to focus all of your energy, not on fighting the old, but on building the new. And today, we're joined by Julie Holly, a visionary in the world of conscious investing and personal development. Julie is the founder of Three Keys Investments, and she's the host of the Conscious Investors podcast. And with over two decades of real estate investing experience, Julie has discovered that while pursuing financial freedom is important, it shouldn't be at the expense of other crucial aspects of life. And this is what actually sparked her passion to help free people to live their lives with unique purpose and contribution. So with that, Julie, it's an honor to have you here. Welcome to the show.
I am so grateful, Jack, just to be here to share space with you. I've enjoyed, you know, the episodes that you've already released. They've been absolutely amazing.
Thank you. And coming from you, I take that as a huge, huge compliment. I think a good place to start, which is absolutely fascinating to me, is how you've gone from being a public school teacher to a real estate investor and a very successful one at that, to then becoming a podcast host. And congratulations, by the way, you reached 500 episodes on your podcast. That's insane. And I love to see that success from you. It's amazing. Could you walk us through that transition?
You know, it's really interesting. And I think I'm going to start in a different place than I normally start, because this is what's really impacted my life most recently, is really discovering the through line of one's life. So a lot of times we're tied into our current circumstances, and we don't always see how today is building into tomorrow. But if we can release that, then we have this opportunity to really see how faith is important to me. You know, everyone has whatever they believe in, but you know, the sovereign God just like weaves our lives together if we lean into it and allow it and receive it. And so I can look back now and see the through line of, I'm a person that has always sought to serve, always sought to support. I've been a effervescent cheerleader of others. And so when I look at, and I've always been involved in real estate, I was raised in real estate, so it was kind of in my blood. So it's interesting when you start to see, maybe if we had a scientific experiment, the concoction, right? And here are the ingredients. And what happens if we shake it? What happens if we put it over heat? What happens if we put it in the freezer? And really, life is like that for all of us. And listener, I think that you can probably relate to this, you know, in your own position of life. If you're looking back over the last 10 or 15 years, you can see how one element led to another. And it's not usually a drastic difference, but it's something that is very complementary. And so it really reveals like the deeper character, the deeper DNA that we were created with. And so when I look at that transition of going from public school teacher, which my mom was an educator, so that was interesting, followed mom's footsteps. And I thought it was a safe, stable, predictable path. Like, oh my gosh, if I go into education, I'm going to have a pension and it's going to be fine. I won't make as much money as if I go into real estate, but I don't have the volatility of dad's occupation.
You initially were going the safer route.
Oh, yes, I was totally going the safer route. And then life threw a lot of curveballs my way. I found myself graduating college, starting a career, and getting married at age 22, all within 5 weeks, all of the major life changes. And in that, I also found myself in an abusive marriage. And I had to make a really difficult decision. And this single decision was one of the most transformative decisions of my life. And it set the trajectory for everything I've been able to do. And that was, I made a very difficult decision to be the very first person in my family to divorce and to leave a marriage and to take a stand and to say, I'm going to choose life and living, and I'm going to take a bet on myself. And once I freed myself from that, once I had that internal movement, that internal shift, everything shifted in my life. Now I was no longer tied to the safety that everyone thought they had. I was no longer chasing after the security of a steady, stable income or the security of a relationship, or that I just realized there is no security. Like, there is no safe bet in life. And part of life, I think Phil Stutz, I'm reading his book right now, and in one of his books, and he's we're always going to say face adversity in life. And Ryan Holiday's book, The Obstacle is a Way, you know, it's like, we will always face obstacles. That is a given, but it's like, what 100%. Are we doing with that obstacle? I leveraged it, and it produced massive opportunity in my life.
It certainly did. And before moving on from this topic, I want to go back to that moment when you made that shift, because making any major life change for most of us requires a ton of courage. And it just doesn't happen overnight where you flip the switch. I mean, some people make decisions like that, I guess. But for you, was it a process that got you to the point where you were able to make that decision? Or was it flipping the switch for you where you said, I just had enough and I'm ready to move on?
You know, when I look back on that process of being in an abusive relationship, right, in an abusive marriage, that right there was honestly the incubator for things. I had to untangle the hard wiring, what I was woven with. I had to decide and determine for myself, what do I believe? What are the truths and the convictions that I hold versus what are the truths and convictions of the culture that I was raised with? What are the truths and convictions of the family atmosphere that I was raised with? And what am I going to keep and what do I own as my own? And when we start really digging into, I should say, let me make this an I statement. When I began diving into my beliefs and my choices, and for me personally, that is, I believe I'm like, man, God gets a bad reputation. I'm going to go, I read my Bible on my own. I study it. I learn it. And so I get to make these decisions and have this relationship that's, I call vertically aligned. And so now I don't have to rely on somebody else or something else. And I made that decision. I said, I remember as driving down the freeway, literally, this sounds like a movie, but it was really true. I'm driving down the freeway. It's dumping rain. It's, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I am just sobbing and my cheeks are just hot. And I am just yelling so loud at God and cursing at God, literally, which is not my normal MO, especially back then. And just angry. My voice was like raspy and I was losing my voice because I was yelling so loud. And the only place I knew I was safe to do that was in the comfort of my car driving down a freeway so fast.
Nobody can hear you. Yeah.
Nobody's going to hear. But I also had this realization, and it was like, it's you and me. Like, that's all that matters. The rest of the world is noise. But you and I, God, we can go, we can do our thing. And I will choose you in the path that unfolds before me. And that takes faith. And there's a difference. And over the years, I've learned the difference between faith and trust. And when you really lean into those, which a lot of times we can feel is like, oh, that's so woo. Sometimes we want to call it our intuition, you know, right? But when we lean into that, we unlock this entire other world to live in. It really is like the Matrix, where it's like, oh, all of these things are just constructs of my mind, of my imagination. The fear that I have is, which I used to be just living in fear and anxiety. Now, in my marriage situation, that was a different situation. But in general, you know, in general, most of our fears are coming from something we are imagining in our mind.
Yeah.
When we're free from that. So going back to, sorry, I'm bouncing around, but when I think about faith and trust, I learned a difference between that also. And that is, I can believe in the things that I cannot see. But when I have trust, it's when I take action, when I actually put energy and movement and momentum behind what I cannot see, that is trust. It's an exciting life to lead. And I've been able to iterate, to go back to your question, over the years, because I've had that faith and I've had that trust. And when you pair those together, and when you know what your deeper core values and your beliefs are, you're leading life from the inside out. You're not looking for anything from the outside to tell you where to go and how to do it. Sure, I'm looking for waypoints on my decision-making, you know, especially in investing. And I mean, I'm not saying we don't look on the outside at all, but that's not what is shaping and informing everything. You're living inside out.
So Julie, then why do you suppose that a large number of us look outside of ourselves for validation, when knowing what you just said is 100% spot on, that it does come from within, and it's how we view ourselves, it's how we view the world. But if we're looking outside of ourselves for that validation, then we're going to keep looking and we're going to keep chasing, and we're never going to really be able to get that alignment that we need in our lives. Why is it that that becomes the default for a lot of people?
Gosh, Jack, you ask wonderful questions. This is something I've appreciated with listening to your show, and I was actually looking forward to your wonderful questions. And
Thank you.
Love this question. Most of us, one, I call it the first world problem, but we can also extrapolate back to the village mentality, right? And so human, you know, like if we just think about cultural anthropology and how humans existed up until the Industrial Revolution, we have a really different atmosphere to how we interact and engage with each other. Previously, we had more of a village-like mentality. And in developing countries, this is still very much the case. And we can still see the fingerprint today in our first world lives. What happens is like we have to fit in to the village. We have to fit in to our community. For us today, that might mean we want to fit into the philanthropic group. We want to fit into our church. We want to fit into, you know, a special interest group, whatever it is, like whatever a group, that's our modern day village. Back in, you know, in previous generations, you know, hundreds of years ago, if you didn't fit the norms of the village, you'd be ostracized.
That's right.
And you wouldn't be able to take care of yourself. You wouldn't be able to protect yourself from enemies or from animal predators. You wouldn't be able to maybe have the water or the food or all of your resources would just very quickly diminish, and life would become very, very complicated. And so I think a lot of times we're looking to this external world because that's what kept us alive. That's what kept humans going, and that's what allowed populations to grow. And so it's still embedded in us. It's still part of our hard wiring.
I think it's exponentially multiplied today because of how accessible all the external things that we're exposed to. I think it's just amplified to that degree. Don't you agree?
You know, I have been wrestling with this as well, the concept of the information age and our access to everyone's personal lives and what's going on around the globe. And I think that until we unplug and start leading life from the inside out, and until we break the proverbial hamster wheel, then those are going to influence and impact our lives, because we're in constant comparison mode. When we have our values clearly established, when we know what our personal, like our first principles are for us, when we know that, now we don't have to do the comparison anymore. Now we can actually stop looking to the scroll on LinkedIn and on Facebook and Instagram and whatever social comes about in the future. We can break that scroll comparison syndrome the moment we have our first principles established, because now I'm not looking for what I want to measure myself by. I know what my measurement is, And man, I love that you have your private jet. And I love that you are in the Caribbean all the time. And I can love everybody else's life and not feel an impact in my own life. Because guess what? That's not the value I have. Those aren't my first principles. And so I don't feel any level of tension in my life. So I think a lot of that gets cut out the moment we know and we're clear about ourselves.
Yeah. All roads lead back to the core of who we are and how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about others and the environment around us. It all goes back to that. And you brought something up before where faith is a very, very big component of who you are as a person. And then, of course, your journey throughout all the things that you've done and done very well, faith has been a big part of it. Do you think that someone who might be stuck in life, and there's a lot of different things that plague people that keep them stuck. I don't believe in absolutes, but do you think it can be purely a mindset reset? Or does it have to come from a place of faith, something bigger than ourselves?
I'm going to go with I don't think there are absolutes. So I think it's interesting. My podcast, The Conscious Investor, we have three echelons, right? Health, mindset, wealth. And in health, it's inclusive of three other elements, right? So it talks about our physical health, our relational health, and our spiritual health. And all of these things are dovetailed together. They're braided together. And I don't think that we can have one without the other. And so even when we're stuck, we have to do a check-in and say, have I been drinking too much? And yeah, you can overconsume water and you can overconsume kombucha. It doesn't have to just be alcohol. Like, am I drinking too much? Am I eating too much? Am I leaning on things for vices, for high performers? Am I actually working out too much and too hard? I was that person and I had to like put my workouts in check because I'm like, whoa, I'm addicted to all of those endorphins and this is actually going to break my physical being down prematurely. That's not going to be healthy, right? So we have to look at what are we releasing in our bodies chemically so that we're optimized chemically. So that's one element where I say we have to look at, are we stuck because of something chemically in our body that we are putting into our body or not having? Mineral balance. There's so many things, hormone balancing, mineral balancing, all sorts of great things out there that we have access to just by nature of, you know, modern times and, you know, opportunity in our country. Then we have to look also at that spiritual element. And regardless of if someone shares my belief, I read lots of books where people have so many different belief systems, but there is a pull inside of us that wants to understand our context in the greater scheme of humanity, in the greater scheme of the universe. And I think that when we feel stuck, having an awareness of even going to Stoics, you know, memento mori, having an understanding and a grounding that I am mortal. My life isn't forever. What is this thing called life and living in my little tiny spot that I get on the timeline of history? We want to understand that. And we want to be able to interpret how we're going to lead and live our lives. So I think that all of these actually really, they all come together and they're all critical. And I will say for me personally, like my faith has been so good. And so many people have faced struggles because of whatever faith-based culture they grew up in. And I've done my own wrestling with things, but it's mine and I own it. And it's mine. Like I have this relationship and it's truly a relationship that is no different than a relationship with a good friend or my husband or something. And so it really brings about this other dimension to life that allows me to be able to step out in courageous measures. Well, I can pivot. I can try that.
Yeah. I think that the courageousness is really the key. And it's also having curiosity about things and about life. That curiosity, I think, really is where it all starts. If we're not curious, then we're not going to be motivated or at least stimulated to pursue a given path. I could dive into so many elements of this topic. I also want to give a little attention to as well, because you've coined the phrase conscious investing, and you touched upon it a few moments ago. But for people that are familiar with investing and, you know, putting their money in different vehicles to generate an ROI, that's the activity, and we could all understand that. But what does it mean to be a conscious investor? You know, and what can we impart to our friends of the show to give that distinction between the two?
I'm writing the Conscious Investor book right now. And so this is all very top of mind for me in this direct fashion that you phrased this question. I'm like, oh, wow, I've been wrestling with this and going back to the Genesis moment. A lot of us are, you know, used to investing and in stocks and bonds and maybe some small rentals. And so we have this idea. What I discovered, Jack, was that when I stepped into commercial real estate investing, I was already involved in single family real estate investing. And when I transitioned, I thought I had found the oasis of like all, it was a concentration of the best living humans on the face of the earth. Now, please don't get me wrong. I still believe that this is a that commercial real estate investors are like hands down, like such an extraordinary group of people to be around. Abundance mindset, optimistic, collaborative, even because we oftentimes partner with other companies. And so there's just this beauty that exists. Then I discovered that I was investing for a very different reason. I wasn't investing because I was investing very specifically because I wanted to do something great in the world. And I wanted to provide something more in the world. And it transcended money. I wasn't driven by money and getting gobs and gobs of money and retiring myself or anything like that. And so when I started to realize that there was this distinction, a lot of people had their why. Why are you doing whatever you're doing? And listener, I encourage you, like, understand what is motivating you. What is your why in life? A lot of people had what I call a very flimsy why. They're like, I'm doing this because I want to spend more time with my family and I want a better life for my kids. And it made me nauseous. And that sounds crazy to a lot of people, but let me explain. Morally and ethically, won't you always do what's best for your family? Morally, 100%. Ethically, won't you always strive to create a better life for your offspring? Like, that's a hands down. So to me, that's already a, like, wait, we're already doing that. What more are we doing? Like, that's already going to happen. What's the greater purpose of why you are investing? What's a greater purpose of why, and listener, you can fill in whatever you want to fill in there. What is your greater purpose behind the already responsible things that you're going to choose to do out of morals, ethics, love, responsibility? And so that's when I realized I'm a conscious investor. I'm investing in things that are beyond financial freedom. Financial freedom is only a little tiny facet, and our lives cannot be driven by money. Money is great, so don't hear me wrong on this. I love money and I love how it solves problems and brings fun, and you can give it away. It's such a great tool. But money is a tool, and it's driving people crazy, literally. Like, people are constantly on the chase after money. I'm like, what is this? This isn't living. This is just shackling ourselves from maybe the corporate golden handcuffs. This is now just handcuffing and shackling myself to something different. I didn't choose that, by the way. That myself is just being kind. Yeah. And so with that, that's where I discovered being a conscious investor, as I phrase it, right? It means I'm striving for personal freedom. I'm striving for strength in all areas of my life, not just my dollars and cents. In fact, dollars and cents are at the very, very base of everything. And when I say base, like, that means, oh, that happened, that's good. But the foundation is, hey, how is our health? We talked about that, physical, relational, spiritual. So what is the point of having all of this money if you don't have a relationship that is deeply connected, that is impactful in your life with your spouse, your kids, your partners, your anyone, right? We have to have those relationships. What is health, or if we don't, what is money worth if we don't have our physical health? It's worthless.
You know, even if you have a lot of money and maybe you got lucky or maybe it was an inheritance, but you never worked through your own emotional stability, mm-hmm. then that money is going to be used in ways that might not be very healthy for you and for others.
Yeah.
And I think that you can't really worship two masters. So if you're worshiping money, that's probably not a road that we want to go down. How do emotions factor into investing in your mind?
Wow, that is massive. Would you mind if I back up just and comment on your comment?
By all means, please.
Okay. And then I'll go that direction. This is really like money amplifies whatever is within us. And this is why it's so important to that we take the time to just like peel back the layers, take the masks off and say like, who am I from the inside out, the very core of my being, who am I? And if we were to amplify or and exaggerate that, is that going to do something really great in this world? Or, I mean, we're always a work in progress, but it's like, sometimes we can realize that, wow, I am really compelled to be greedy. I'm really compelled to be, you know, and we're reacting to this, kind of goes into the emotions part of it. Now we're reacting to the past that we were raised with. We're reacting to the previous generations of our family and their relationship with money, as well as our own hardwired DNA. All of my kids are different. My brothers and I are all different, right? Like, so we're all very unique, even if we're raised in the same proximity, same roof and things, right? So
it's amazing, isn't it?
It's so wild. So it's really important to understand, what do I want amplified in my life? And if I pour, you know, we could go to superheroes. I happen to be a superhero nerd. But if we were to look at, you know, all the alter egos of our good characters, like, ooh, wow, look at that super strength in this person, in that character. That's not what we want, how we want it amplified. So we want to make sure that we are grounded. And what's interesting, when we think about the emotions behind it, this goes so deep, Jack. As I've been studying this even further, we really have to think about the previous generations of our family. And I've been peeling this back in my own life. I can go back, you know, I can only personally go back three generations to my great-grandparents. And my family on my maternal side came across the borders of Mexico and lived in tents and worked in fields, and they became college graduates, and they, like, looking at their mindset towards money and how that impacted my mom's upbringing and how that impacted my upbringing, looking at my paternal side of the family and looking at that side, my dad being born out of wedlock in the 40s. Whoa, that's a big deal. And looking at how that, you know, how my grandma navigated things. Like, so you start looking at generations that led into you, again, going back to through lines, like all the previous generations, love it or hate it, their stories impacted how we were raised and how we think about things. And so we really can dig into what influences did I not have control over that subconsciously influenced my perspective on this? And how do I want to perceive this? And what do I want my life to look like? Because we have choice.
Yeah. It's taking some time to really take a look at the before, the beginning, the middle, and where you want to be, you know, in the future. But it takes some effort and work to do it. You got to want to do it. I think that's the most important thing. Going back real quick, and this will just button up the emotional side of what we were talking about. Can you share with us a personal experience where maybe your emotional state, whatever it might have been at that time, significantly impacted your investment decisions?
Oh gosh. Do you want to see me cry? Oh gosh, listener, I'm sorry. I'll try to keep myself together on this one. I actually did a keynote presentation on this, and I think it was 2021, as I was looking for passive income streams, I managed to find myself in the e-commerce space. And my husband, who just is the greatest human on earth. And he lets me live in the clouds. He holds my ankles down so that I don't float away, right? And he was like, I'm not sure about this. I'm really not necessarily comfortable with going this direction and partnering with these people, blah, blah, blah. And this is where I had to learn about myself, even not too long ago, big lesson learned. And I pushed. Oh gosh, I pushed. I'm like, no, this is going to be great. And I gave all the reasons. And finally he's like, acquiesced. And he's like, okay, well, next thing you know, it took a while to get the store going. And well, that one failed, that application failed, but now we've got our Walmart store up and going. Okay, great. And now it's starting to do some business. And now, okay, I can see this is going to be great. Walmart shut half the stores down. Half of the e-commerce stores. So lots of third-party people selling on Amazon or Walmart. We went the Walmart path. At that point, we had over 100, like we had massive six figures leveraged, because that's how you do those stores. You leverage. And we are not people that like to use leverage in that capacity. With real estate, it's a very different lever. But I had to tell my husband the depth of the situation. Walmart could have held all of our funds for easily 3 months, if not longer. And so it's like, oh, well, we have an $80,000 payment due. And we have like, so these huge chunks of change. So when we're talking about the pain of the moment, right, that whole experience taught me a few key things. It taught me that we have to listen to each other. I didn't value. I was so caught up in what I wanted and what I believed that I wasn't hearing the quiet voice of my husband. And I wasn't valuing his discernment. And so there has to be a give and take with that. Generally he and I have it, but I'll tell you what, I have never felt such shame and sadness and just like, what kind of position have I put my family in just because I was so bullheaded. And so that's a big learn. That's a hard lesson to learn. I also learned that God walks me through everything in life. And I remember not sleeping at night, losing my physical health, just debilitating, just no energy, lethargic. I couldn't sleep at night. It was excruciating and miserable. And it was because I was just so upset with myself and kind of doing that whole beating myself up. So I really have to go constant, like, no, but I forgive myself. And then I'd go down it and have to repeat this. Right. And then, I would just pray over this. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work out. And this is one of those where I learned a lot about faith and trust. It's like this trust, like, I have no control over this. I have no control over Walmart. I have no voice, no say. Lots of great investing lessons learned. I'll always invest in real estate over anything else. But
oh, I'm sure.
Ultimately, everything worked out. And so there's also another lesson learned, is that everything I needed was provided in the moment it was needed, not before. And so it's this beautiful opportunity to be able to walk through the fire and say, I don't want to walk through the fire again. I learned a lot of lessons. I don't want to do that ever again, the hard way.
I can understand the feeling of, on one hand, on one extreme, you had this strong conviction and belief and passion about what you were doing. And that's why the blinders were on, because you believed it in every fiber of your body. The reality didn't match up to that. And then now you're experiencing a swing to the other end where, as you've described, all this guilt and shame and disappointment. And I think a lot of us fall into that spectrum. Our decisions are emotionally driven, and then ultimately the output doesn't necessarily meet the reality, which ties back into what you were saying earlier about really getting ourselves on solid footing and keeping our emotions in check and being humble enough to listen to those that may not be as emotionally vested in what it is that we're doing, mm-hmm. because they'll give us some counsel and kind of looking at life through different lenses. I appreciate you sharing that with us today. But then on the flip side, and you probably know through your clients, is that there are some people who want more in their lives. Maybe they have some money sitting on the side, but they're afraid to put mm-hmm. it anywhere. What would you say to someone who is in this mindset of protectionism versus expansionism?
Oh my gosh. It's so often people are being defensive with their money. I talk about this. I spent some time on the social platforms talking about people sitting on the sidelines versus being on the field. And the reality is that we have very little control over what happens in any given economic setting. And so it's making like the best prudent choice that we can. Now, sitting on our money and leaving it in a savings account, they're actually not doing too bad right now. But because of inflation, they were actually like getting hit hard for a while. And then, you know, but we have to remember, banks are also businesses. They're not there to just like hold your money out of kindness and goodwill. They are a business and they are using your money in every economic situation to make money. So when we can understand how everything is actually working and saying like, wait a second, I'm going to leave my money in there and I'm not going to make anything off of it just because I'm afraid. But the bank, who probably knows more than I do, they're willing to go and they're going to make money off of my money. Like, maybe I should think about that a little bit. But we really need to be thinking about, why are we afraid of losing our money? And it goes back to that money mindset, the emotions that we have behind money. Oftentimes, we might have a trauma in our past. Perhaps our family didn't have means and it was difficult to put food on the table. There were times, and I was writing about this recently, where we were in a terrible financial situation after the 08 crash. We were in a really hard situation. I was just writing about, and I'm starting to share this publicly, and it's still something hard to share, but it's like, I remember having a second child. I hear I have a new baby, and 08's happened. We're still recovering from it, financially in a really compromised situation, and driving to public assistance, which I just couldn't even. I just sat there in the parking lot again, sitting in the car, crying moment. But when our conviction outweighs our fear, so we have to know what we're mostly like, what is driving us? Well, my conviction to make sure that my two kids were going to, you know, be okay, and that I was putting a hedge between, you know, what could happen and life, right? So we really have to look at, we don't have the control over things in life. And when I look at that situation, and I think about worst case scenarios, like we all have our hardships that we've experienced in life. And we have, one of the things I personally remind myself of is, God has been kind. I work hard. We make good decisions. So we do our part, but like everything that we have has always been provided for us. And what more do I need? What more do I need in life? Like, do I need Scrooge McDucks? Like, there's no amount of money that is going to make you feel safe and secure. This is why you could be a billionaire and still have the internal fears, doubts, and insecurities as somebody who is happily kicking a soccer ball around in a developing country.
Yeah. 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 Many of us lose sight of that. It's about accumulation, accumulation, accumulation. To what end? When is it enough?
To what end?
When is it enough? And it's very, very important. And I'd love to welcome you back to the show. But before we go, because we're getting close to the top of the hour here, you've shared so many golden nuggets. And this might be a tall order to ask you. But if you were to give just one piece of advice, one piece of wisdom from our conversation today that our audience can take away from and actually do something with, what would it be?
That is a really tall order, but let's distill this all down because we've covered a broad variety, but I'm obsessed right now with through lines. And the through line of our conversation has really been leading life from the inside out. And so the scariest place to go is within. We know what's within. And sometimes we don't want to see that person within us because we've let ourselves down. So we don't have that level of trust. We've disappointed ourselves at time. We've had these elements. And so no different than us wanting to avoid that person at a family reunion or something like that, because we're like, oh, remember what they did when we were kids? We do that to ourselves. And so yeah. I think that the number one thing I would encourage everyone to do is go within, get to know yourself. We spend 100% of our life with only one human being, us. And the more we know and know ourselves and understand ourselves, accept ourselves and encourage ourselves, the better we're going to show up in the world. And so don't be afraid of looking that person in the mirror. Don't be afraid of saying, I like you. Some of us can't say that. A lot of people can't look in the mirror and say, I love you. You're really awesome. We can say all the tough things to ourselves. You failed. You're just a total loser. We can say all of those things, but learning to speak truth into our life in a positive way, the way we'd encourage our friends, is how we need to start showing up for ourselves. And when we do that, we're going to see the world from a very different vantage point.
Wow. Wow, Julie. Julie Holly, everyone. Julie Holly, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your insights with us. And it'd be my honor to have you back on the show. We're gonna put all your links in the show notes so that everybody, if they're interested in following you and, you know, following your work, they'll be able to do that. And thank you to the friends of the show for tuning in to Mindset Reinvented. If you found some value today, please pay it forward, share it with people who may really want to hear what we're sharing. That would be a very, very good thing. Stay tuned for our next episode, guys. We're going to be joined by Wendy Zimmer. She's a mindset development expert and a professor at Texas A&M University. And she's going to share some insights on how to change destructive mindsets into a whole new way of life. And you're not going to want to miss it. Mm. If you're not in our email list, make sure you visit us at mindsetreinvented.com so that you can get notified of our new episodes. So until then, I appreciate all of you and keep living your best life. See you soon.
Please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you get your podcasts from. It helps more than you know. Thanks. See you next time.